I'm just giving you a fair warning. You're probably not gonna like this video because in the next few minutes, you're gonna find out the despicable, unjust, and outright indecent tricks that the super rich use every day to protect their money, get more of it, and get a competitive advantage over everyone else. And I'll be honest, this video might be triggering for a lot of people. Because when you understand how the real world works and that the rules that apply to you are not the rules that apply to the ultra rich, it's gonna change your worldview. Now, before you think that this is just about Gates and the Buffetts, it's not. These are tricks that I use myself. It's the tricks that my friends use, the people that I hang out with, my business partners, my business associates. It's the universal language and it's the universal playbook of those that are ultra achievers. Because listen, at the end of the day, we don't make the rules, we just play within them. Now you're probably asking, why am I telling you this? Because quite frankly, I had no one to teach me this growing up. I never met my real father. My stepdad cut off me and my mom when I was 11 years old, and quite frankly, he was never really around. I don't think he really cared that much. So from a young age, I had to learn what all of this stuff meant. And it's funny, growing up, before I'd ever actually made anything out of my life, I always used to think to myself, there's no playbook on how to be rich. There's no like guide or do this, do that. In today's video, I want to give you some concepts that have been the most useful to me in my journey. And then when I look around at some of my business partners and some of my entrepreneurial friends, that they implore the same tactics. So here are the four strategies that you need to understand. The first trick I see time and time again is creating no-lose rigged situations. And what I mean by that is you set up a deal or an enterprise where your only option is to win. Now, in the world of trading, this means hedging, which involves option contracts as well as swaps to minimize the risk of both upward and downward movement in the direction against your bet. But that's just standard practice. The more unjust situations I see every day are far more creative and lucrative. And for me, one of my favorite examples reading about growing up was a story that lies with Richard Branson. Now, I'm not gonna say that Richard Branson is God's gift to business, but when he first started Virgin Atlantic, he pulled off one of the greatest deals. And I remember reading about this when I was younger, where he actually structured an agreement with Boeing where he could return each one of the aircraft that he leased if his new venture didn't succeed. And you know, there's a very prolific saying that if you want to become a millionaire, be a billionaire and then buy an airline. So getting into the airline business definitely doesn't have the strongest track record when it comes to building someone's wealth and being a profitable venture. But he managed to create a no-lose rigged situation. This meant that he was able to purchase the aircraft essentially risk-free, dumping all of that risk onto Boeing. And you see this kind of asymmetry being leveraged by big businesses all the time. Another great example to look at is Jeff Bezos. When he was looking to build the new Amazon distribution center, he had state legislators lining up to offer a massive range of tax breaks and incentives just for him to break ground into their state. It's a perverse state of affairs, but somehow governments are content with taking money from normal people and giving it to the super wealthy. And by the way, if you think that you're safe from this, I urge you to read the hundreds of terms and conditions that you've signed up to in the past 12 months alone. Each one of these contains a wide variety of waivers, essentially freeing the company you're doing business with from liabilities or class action lawsuits. So they leverage their power and monopoly, and frankly, most people's ignorance and stupidity to completely rewrite the rule book in their own favor. Now, I will admit at this point that this sort of asymmetry is easier with wealth, power, and leverage. Since 2000, taxpayers in the USA have contributed $4.3 billion to the construction of NFL stadiums. Because when they're built, they bring jobs, investment, and boost the local economy. Or that's what they say. But the point is, it's unlikely that a normal person is going to be able to do the same thing. So I'm not saying that you ask for tax breaks from the government, and hopefully it starts you thinking how you can get more from situations strategically and start devising situations and circumstances where you have the most advantageous seat possible. And to be honest, 99% of the time, the other party doesn't even realize this is the case. Now, of course, in order to do all of this, it helps to have a great lawyer. And that brings us onto our second point. You want to surround yourself with the right representation. If you've ever watched an episode of Suits, which I loved growing up, and wondered why they get paid so much, wait until you realize that for the ultra wealthy, these guys literally bend the rules of physics. And let me explain what I mean by this. There's law, and then there's law in practice. You see, 99% of drivers break the speed limit every day, so that technically they're breaking the law. But most people are only unlucky enough to get caught speeding a few times in their life. You see, that's law in practice. And this divide is where the very best lawyers make their clients' fortunes. You could use an example like when Elon Musk bought Twitter. You see, the company was stuck with hefty leases on prime real estate in San Francisco. Now, with an absolute powerhouse of a lawyer, he employed a strategy where he essentially withheld rent from his landlords until they agreed to his demand of a reduction in rent, because the landlord simply could not afford to litigate the case in court, whereas Musk could. It was basically a war of attrition. This was a calculated risk buoyed by a comprehensive legal strategy. Now, others utilize litigation as a sword, not a shield. Now, by this, I mean that the rich can afford to go to court. You can't. That means that if you ever say anything negative or defamatory about someone, you're going to be bombarded with enough litigation to bankrupt you before you even get to court. Now, these are known as slap suits. You can look them up. And as illegal as they are, they're still deployed constantly with terrifying frequency. Next, there's accountants. And it's funny, people always ask me what I would do if I hadn't followed this journey in life. And honestly, I would have been a tax advisor. Complicated corporate structures, offshore structures, tax planning, wealth management, and accountants are the highest ROI investment that a business can make, because they can take a business with a huge tax liability, register it offshore, engage in accelerated depreciation and loss harvesting, bringing their bill down to zero, all while rewarding the CEO with stock options instead of a traditional salary. And then finally, there's public relations consultants. Mark Wahlberg, Mike Tyson, Robert Downey Jr. Every single one of these celebrities has committed some terrible crime. But you've either not heard about it or you've just forgotten about it. And that is the power of good PR. A good publicist can make any negative information about you disappear and rehabilitate even the most horrible public figures into beloved celebrities. And if you want to see the ultimate embodiment of legal representation in practice, just look at Donald Trump. Listen, love him, hate him, I don't care. He is a mastermind at employing counsel. You know, in his 60-year-long career, he's burned through lawyer after lawyer, accountant after accountant, press advisor after press advisor. And despite a lifetime of misdeeds, it's taken him until the age of 79 to face any significant prosecution. And prior to his presidential campaign, he'd managed to breeze through decades of dodgy deals, multiple bankruptcies, divorces, and other scandals with his wealth intact and still a very good reputation. And even now, despite a literal insurrection, he's facing no more than what, fraud charges? The people around him, though, they're screwed. His own lawyer was declared bankrupt after being ordered to pay $148 million in defamation charges. Listen, Trump's a very smart man. Trump's going nowhere. Now, I hate to be the one to break it to you, I really do, but today, you subsidized some other rich guy's first-class flight. Not by buying a ticket in economy class or buying something on Amazon, but by using a credit card and failing to pay late. You've essentially subsidized the purchase of someone else using an Amex or other credit card. Stores have to pay a higher transaction rate for these cards, but they don't charge these customers anymore. Meanwhile, the people using these cards are accruing rewards points or cashback. And listen, I use this myself. I have multiple black cards in different currencies. And anytime that I'm flying commercial, all of my team that's flying with me always gets free upgrades. So my team flies all around the world in business class 95% of the time. And for me, it costs me absolutely nothing. And the same approach to money is reflected across the super wealthy. The cliche, as you know, of course, is to make your money work for you and not the other way around. But the reality is that the super rich have 1,000 different strategies to get access to their money than you do. And let me ask you this, why does Apple, which has billions in the bank, they have such a massive cash reserve, why do they routinely borrow money? It's not because they needed to, but because it was literally cheaper to loan the money and pay the interest than repatriate the money from other countries and pay tax on it. When they employed the strategy, it took their tax liability from 35% to 0.84% abroad. And this approach to financing means that the super rich get free money and essentially cheaper money than you. And these guys also have access to another form of money. Not credit, but debt. You see, in 1997, the artist David Bowie needed money to buy the rights to his music from his partner. So he issued a Bowie bond, which was a debt instrument which allowed investors to buy into his future royalties for the next 10 years. Now, there was a US insurance company that took advantage of this and bought the bonds for $55 million. Next, the super rich are constantly building their competitive edge. One of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn in my own journey is the importance of staying in my own lane. Now, I'll be honest, most things I've turned my attention to in business have been massive successes. That's not a boast, by the way. I just did things in the right order. I had the right businesses at the right career timing. I wasn't trying to run before I could walk. My first business and agency was extremely simple, and it was a cash flow business. Now, after some of my initial success, I tried to parlay this into an entirely different industry. And I'll always be very honest with you when it comes to my failures or challenges. And the one I'll be upfront about is Gadgee, which was initially a clothing line and has now turned into an eyewear business for the last 4 years. You know, I went into that business with massive naivety as well as shiny object syndrome, thinking that it would take as little time as my agency would and show similar results. But to put it bluntly, it didn't. And then eventually 4 years ago, I moved away from clothing, moved it into eyewear. The business has been massively successful, a multi seven-figure year business, in profit, by the way. And I recently just sold a massive share to my business partner, who actually exited his eyewear business 7 years ago for hundreds of millions of dollars. The point is, just because you're successful in one industry doesn't mean you're gonna be successful in the other. So the businesses I've had since then, they all fall under my domain and skill set. Warren Buffett is famous for investing in businesses that fall within what he calls his circle of competence. He works in the consumer goods and insurance industries because he understands them. And he can identify the same issues and implement the same strategies over and over again, refining them each time. And if they ever do work in other spheres, they leverage the talents and knowledge from the one that they are most comfortable in. Failing to do this will always lead to hysterical results. And by the way, I'm not just gonna tell you the story to distract you from my own venture into eyewear, but does anyone actually remember Google Glasses? They were brought out to massive fanfare, only to be shelved 6 months later. Even just look at Apple, they fell prey to shutting down the electric car project that they had invested hundreds of millions of dollars into. So if you're ever wondering how you can implement this in your own life, you need to listen to what I've been preaching for years. Find the one thing you do well, do it better than anyone else, productize it, and then sell the hell out of it. And once you have done this, apply the exact same skill set to your next endeavor. And just remember, you always want to find the right opportunity for your career stage. You don't want to get into a business that involves 10 out of 10 capital, as in money you need to put in, and 10 out of 10 skill set if you're just at the beginning of your journey. And honestly, if I really had to pinpoint one of the things that have made me the most successful today, it's that exactly right there. Always picking the right business model for the right stage of my career. So on that note, I hope you guys enjoyed today's video. And as always, I'm watching from afar and I'm rooting for you.